mostly women and children. Hello and welcome to World News, everyone. Now, several people have been killed in an Israeli airstrike targeting the consular section of the Iranian embassy in Damascus, Syria. The attack took place right next to a building that, which was the embassy. It's also residence of the Iranian ambassador at the Mazar neighborhood of central Damascus. Ambassador and his family were not harmed, but this is the second Israeli attack targeting the vicinity in a day. On Sunday, Israeli forces targeted another part of the capital, Damascus, with rockets launched from the occupied Golan Heights. Ibrahim Wati, our correspondent in Damascus earlier, joined us from the scene of the Israeli attack for more details.
At 5 p.m. today, the Israeli enemy launched an air attack that targeted the Iranian consulate in a blatant violation of international laws and human norms. The aggression resulted in the destruction of the four-story building right behind me completely. Ambulances, firefighting team, civil defense team all rushed to the place. They start digging for survivors. Also, there has been reports that the Brigadier General Sayyid Mohammad Reza Zahidi was martyred, which is a senior IRGC commander in Al-Quds Force. We have heard lately that there has been condemnation by several countries. First, the Iranian foreign minister condemned this attack and considered Netanyahu a maniac, a madman who wants war through this provocation. The Syrian foreign ministry also condemned this attack, and the Syrian foreign minister, Dr. Faisal Maqdad, came to the location and checked on the ambassador and his family, which was fine. He was at his office doing his work, doing his job when the attack happened, but thankfully he was fine. The Dr. Faisal Maqdad said that Syria is standing firmly with Iran, and this attack will never intimidate us. We condemn this attack and consider it a violation of the sovereignty of Syria, also as well Iran. The Ministry of the Russian Ministry of Defense also condemned this attack and consider it a dangerous escalation that may lead to an open war in the region. They condemned the attack as well. Palestinian factions, the Palestinian Front for Struggle, several Palestinian leaders as well.
Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says Israel's attack on Iran's consular mission in Damascus is out of desperation caused by irreparable defeat it's recently suffered. IRGC said the Palestinians in Gaza and resistance in the region have dealt heavy blows to Israel. It also confirmed seven Iranian military advisors, including two senior commanders, were killed. Regional resistance groups have also condemned this attack, with Hamas calling it a dangerous escalation and blatant violation of Iran and Syria's sovereignty. Palestinian Islamic Jihad described it as a cowardly act, and Lebanon's Hezbollah vowed Israel's crime will not go unpunished. Also, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine also stressed the attack could not have happened without a green light from the U.S. Several countries, including Pakistan, Oman, Qatar, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Russia, also denounced Israeli aggression as unacceptable. Hossein Akhmedi, Iran's ambassador to Syria, has vowed the Islamic Republic will give a decisive response to Israel's attack on its consulate.
Two of the police forces of the Syrian government also got wounded in the operation. They were taken to the hospital. A number of cars were set ablaze. Part of the walls and premises, the main premise of the building of the embassy collapsed. The Zionist crime is nothing surprising. For more than 6 months, the Zionists are committing any kinds of crimes they can commit. Crimes against children, women in Gaza and the West Bank and Lebanon, even in Syria and elsewhere in the world. And insanely, Netanyahu is like a lone rider just committing crimes to protect himself in his position. And advocates of the Zionist regime, the U.S. and others, are also kind of complicit in these crimes. The Islamic Republic of Iran so far has stood against all these crimes, all this violence, and will definitely give the right response, as it has already given the right responses. The difference is that this time, maybe for the first time, the Zionist regime has allowed itself to hit an official building, the embassy premises of Iran, where the flag of the Islamic Republic is hoisted atop it. So this is the difference in this attack this time. And that's the crime that the Zionists have admitted to having committed. So this is the job of the international circles and those of the advocates of the Zionist regime. They need to be accountable. So the Islamic Republic of Iran, too, will reciprocate and in due time will take the right action.
The Iranian foreign minister has called for an immediate and appropriate response by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation to the Israeli terrorist attack on its on the Iranian consular mission in Damascus. Hossein Amir Abdullahian made the call in a phone conversation with the OIC Secretary General. The Iranian foreign minister said the attack violates all international laws. For his part, Hossein Brahim Taha pointed to Israel's criminal history and strongly condemned the strikes. Iran's also called on the UN Security Council to condemn this attack in the strongest possible terms and hold an urgent meeting to address the violation. Iran's foreign ministry also summoned the Swiss ambassador, which represents U.S. interests in Tehran. Amir Abdullahian said an important message was relayed to Washington as a main supporter of the Israeli regime. He said the U.S. must answer for this crime. Scores more Palestinians are killed in Gaza as U.S.-Israeli campaign of genocide approaches the grim six-month milestone. In the central city of Deir el-Balah, a vehicle owned by food aid agency World Central Kitchen, four foreign aid workers and their Palestinian driver were all killed. The Hamas resistance movement strongly condemned the attack as part of Israel's policy of systematically killing unarmed civilians and international relief teams. Elsewhere in Deir el-Balah, the regime bombed a mosque which claimed the life of a child and injured 20 other people. To the south of the strip, Israeli bombardment and shelling of Rafah and Khan Yunis claimed more than a dozen civilian lives. Now, since the beginning of this campaign of genocide on October the 7th, more than 32,800 Gazans have been killed and nearly 75,000 injured. Iraqi anti-terror group says it's ready to send military supplies to fellow resistance fighters in Jordan to help defend Palestinians against Israeli atrocities. Kataib Hezbollah says it's prepared supplies for over 12,000 fighters. It said provisions include light weaponry, anti-armor launchers, tactical missiles, ammunition, and explosives. The resistance group said it seeks to form a united front against Israel. Kataib Hezbollah also voiced readiness to block land routes leading to Israeli-occupied territories if it receives a go-ahead from Palestinian movements. Kataib Hezbollah also carried out multiple military operations against Israel and the U.S. since the beginning of the Gaza onslaught. Back in January, at least three U.S. forces were killed in one such attack on a military base belonging to the U.S. in Jordan. Housing prices throughout the West have gotten so high that many people have given up on the idea of ever owning a home. In Europe, protests are being held to demand more government intervention on the issue of building more affordable housing. Rami Mazahiri has your story out of Paris.
In a statistic which may amaze and anger those in their 20s and 30s, in 1973, the average French person dedicated just 10% of their income to housing. In places like Lisbon, that figure is now 63%, as the housing situation across Europe is being called the worst it has been in 70 years. With winter prohibitions on evictions ending with the arrival of spring, protests are being held across Europe against the lack of affordable housing.
Houses are made for living in, and not for financial speculation. This is a fundamental truth which has been forgotten by successive French governments. They have turned their back on the many victims of our long-running housing crisis, and across Europe, it's the same. What's worse is that they'll have many people evicted by landlords looking to cash out on tourist money for the Summer Olympics.
One out of four French people suffer from a serious housing problem, so it's no surprise that better housing has been a top issue for voters in election after election.
There's a real lack of decent, new, and safe housing in France and Europe, as much of our stock dates from after World War II. The laws requiring that 20% of lodgings be made available to lower-income citizens is not enforced, and we just don't see that. The government cares about the incredible difficulty of finding affordable housing here in France.
In Paris, housing prices are up a back-breaking 70% since 2009, the start of the great financial crisis and the failed response of far-right economic austerity. The hiking of interest rates in 2022 caused some housing markets in Europe to decline slightly, but others continued to rise. That also caused building costs to soar, reducing private construction. Housing groups insist that lodging issues could be fixed nationwide in just 5 to 10 years if the government's laws favored renters and regular citizens instead of landowners and real estate speculators. The primary culprit seems to lie in the refusal of right-wing economics to allow governments to invest tax revenue in building more affordable real estate, and also in the vast sell-offs to private corporations of government housing since the 1980s. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Iranians have marked the second of three Laylat al-Qadr nights. The religious occasion traditionally celebrates the revelation of the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. However, with the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza this year, praying for the liberation of Palestine has become the main theme of the ceremonies. Yusuf Misha Ahmadi reports from Tehran.
Reciting along with the Joshani Kabir prayer, calling on God by the 1,001 names and attributes mentioned in this powerful prayer, and tearing up while asking God for redemption on one of the most sacred nights for Muslims. Laylatul Qadr, also referred to as the Night of Power or the Night of Destiny. In Iran, people traditionally gather in holy sites and mosques and keep a vigil on this occasion, which is observed on the nights before the 19th, the 21st, and the 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan. This year, however, like many other occasions over the past 6 months, the genocidal war on Gaza dominates the ceremony.
Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem is profoundly revered for us Muslims because of the significance of Laylatul Mi'raj, commemorating Prophet Muhammad's miraculous overnight ascension to heaven.
It's Qadr tonight. I'm praying for God for the liberation of Palestine and Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Qadr night is one of the most sacred nights in Islam, and I come here every year to pray. But this year, all I want is for the atrocities against Palestinians to stop.
Performing religious rituals in a free Al-Aqsa Mosque and in a free Jerusalem is a wish that Iranians always pray for. But this time around, these prayers are mostly dedicated to the liberation of Palestine from Zionists and an end to the genocidal war on Gaza.
What's happening in Gaza right now is absolutely heartbreaking. That's why tonight we are praying for our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine. We are all praying to God for the defeat of Zionists and the victory of Palestinians.
And what better occasion than Qadr night, a night which is known to be the night when the destiny of every person is determined by God.
Qadr night in Islamic scriptures marks the night when the Holy Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. According to the Holy Quran, this night is better than 1,000 months. Our destiny is determined, and we pray that we can keep serving God.
Serving God by serving God's people on a night dedicated to good deeds. This is the best night for charitable activities as well, and everyone who is present here wants to make the best of it.
Laylatul Qadr, which is also referred to as the Night of Power or the Night of Destiny, is considered one of the most sacred occasions in the Islamic calendar, one that Muslims try not to miss. Gisumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye for now.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
In Britain, only 24% of people in England, Scotland and Wales are content with the National Health Service. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. independent television network ITV has covered this story and tells us more. Poor access to general practitioners and long waits for hospital treatment have led to public dissatisfaction with their National Health Service. The public satisfaction with NHS has now hit its lowest level on record. Fewer than one in four people, or 24%, were satisfied with the health service in 2023, down 5 percentage points on the previous year and the lowest level since records began in 1983, according to findings from the British Social Attitudes Opinion Poll. The study of 3,374 people in England, Wales and Scotland is seen as the gold standard test of how people feel about the National Health Service, the NHS. While satisfaction with the NHS peaked in 2010, when 70% of people were satisfied with the health service, it has fallen since. And since 2020, satisfaction has fallen by 29 percentage points. However, support for the founding principles of the National Health Service remains high, with 91% believing the National Health Service should be free of charge when people need to use it, 82% agreeing it should be primarily funded through taxes, and 82% saying the National Health Service should be available to everyone. Findings from the opinion poll showed 52% of people were dissatisfied with the National Health Service, the highest proportion since the survey began. The main reasons for dissatisfaction are waiting times for GP and hospital appointments, 71%, followed by staff shortages, 54%, and the government not spending enough money on the National Health Service, 47%. A report on the poll found a decade of squeezed funding and chronic workforce shortages, followed by a global pandemic, has left the National Health Service in a continual state of crisis. In a marked change, Conservative supporters reported only marginally higher levels of satisfaction with the National Health Service than Labour supporters in 2023. 29% among the Conservatives compared with 24% among Labour. Levels of dissatisfaction were similar across supporters of both political parties. The survey found that 34% of people were satisfied with GP services in 2023, the lowest level of satisfaction recorded since the survey began. Some 41% were dissatisfied. Since 2019, satisfaction with GP services has fallen by 34 percentage points. There are also problems with dentistry, with a record low satisfaction level of 24% and a record high dissatisfaction of 48%. Satisfaction with both inpatient and outpatient hospital services remain at record low levels. When asked what the most important priorities for the National Health Service should be, the top two were making it easier to get a GP appointment, 52%, and increasing the number of staff in the National Health Service, 51%. Improving waiting times for planned operations and in accidents and emergency were chosen by 47% and 45% of people, respectively. Ahead of the upcoming general election, political leaders should take note of just how far satisfaction with the celebrated public institution has fallen. The King's Fund and the Nuffield Trust sponsored the health and care questions in the poll, which is carried out by the National Centre for Social Research. Their analysis report says, despite record lows in satisfaction, the public remains overwhelmingly behind the principles of the National Health Service. The last few years have seen large falls in satisfaction, but support for the founding principles behind the National Health Service, free at the point of use, available to everyone, and primarily funded through taxes, has remained constant. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Public satisfaction with the National Health Service has fallen into its lowest ever level, with long delays to access care the biggest source of deepening frustration. A new study has shown just 24% of people across England, Scotland and Wales, the fewest on record, are satisfied with the health service, according to the latest British Social Attitudes research. Satisfaction has plummeted by 29% since before the COVID-19 pandemic emerged in the early 2020, and by an enormous 46% from the highest ever 70% recorded back in 2010, when the Conservatives took power. It fell 5 percentage points alone from 29% in 2022 to 24% in 2023. The number of people who are dissatisfied with the National Health Service is also at an all-time high at 52%. Asked why they were dissatisfied, more respondents said that it took too long to get a GP or hospital appointment, 71%. They mentioned any other issue. Not enough NHS staff was the second most cited reason at 54%. Followed by the government doesn't spend enough money on the National Health Service with 47%. Almost a third or 32% cited NHS wasting money. Dan Wellings, part of the team at the King's Fund, which alongside fellow think tank the Nuffield Trust analysed the BSA findings, said the results were bleak, but also should not be surprising after a year of strikes, scandals and sustained long waits for care. Satisfaction with GP services and NHS dental care has fallen to its lowest ever level, just 24% for both services. Slightly more people, but still small numbers, are satisfied with accidents and emergency, 31%, and inpatient services, 35%. But satisfaction with social care services is even worse, at a mere 13%. The Patients Association said it was dismayed by the BSA survey findings, which are seen as the authoritative picture of how the public is feeling about the National Health Service. Years of mounting pressure on the National Health Service and its increasing inability to meet treatment waiting times have left its relationship with patients severely strained, the charity added. Wes Streeting, the Shadow Health Secretary, said, after 14 years of neglect, the National Health Service has never been in a worse state. Fewer than one in every four people say they're getting a good service, and who can blame them? Patients are waiting 18 months for an operation, more than a month for GP appointments, and NHS dentistry barely exists anymore. The Conservatives have taken the National Health Service to breaking point. The BSA survey, which was undertaken by the National Centre for Social Research, also found that 84% think the National Health Service has a major or severe funding problem. 48% want the government to increase taxes and spend more money on the National Health Service. And Conservative voters are now almost as likely as Labour voters to not be satisfied with the National Health Service.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is IRIB English Radio's Viewpoints. I am Hadi Saravi, your host. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Viewpoints. I am Hadi Saravi, your host. Qadr and its nights are among the important times of the year on Muslim calendar. Although the literature around these nights are rich and a lot has been said and written, these nights are still mysterious and many aspects and values of it are still truly unknown to Muslims across the globe. On this episode, we try to shed yet another light on it. I would like to start our team of experts here in the studio On my left, dear brother Ali, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
It's great to have you here. And also Dr. Rouhani is a very esteemed guest, and this is great to have him again here. Welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah,
thank you for being here. I want you to help us understand, Dr. Rouhani, about the importance of these ideas, how to better spend our precious time over these precious nights, how to get the best out of it.
Yes, of course. If we refer to ahadith and riwayat, there are specific recommendations on Laylatul Qadr that we can practice. For example, it is said that so ghusl is one of the rituals of this holy night, and prayer of Laylatul Qadr, which is a specific prayer that can be performed, reciting Surah 44 and Surah 97 of the Holy Quran in this holy night, reciting the supplication of Al-Jawshan Al-Kabir in this holy month is very much recommended. Ziyarah of Abdullah Al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam is very much recommended in this holy night. And holding the Quran on the head and ask forgiveness and make dua in this specific night, they are some of the rituals that can be followed in this holy night.
Speaking of these actions, it's as if your next year or your future depends on this very special night. I would like to ask about one of the most important things that we can do on these nights that might change our destiny. If you could choose between all the things that are possible, all these possibilities, what is the one thing that can change your destiny, or maybe for the better?
Actually, it's saying that what is the only thing that we can do is a little difficult to be said. We can actually think of a collection of some actions that are good to be done and to be thought about. One of the most important actions that is recommended to be done in this holy month, as the respected brother said, is seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repentance. Because this is the month of repentance, the month of forgiveness. And the doors and the gates of repentance and forgiveness is open. And this is the best time and the best moments and the best seconds of the year that we can appreciate and ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance. Second, since it is again the month of forgiveness and the night that we are in, that is the night of Qadr itself, is the night of wilaya as well. Having a sort of attention towards the wali of the time, because as the brother said, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَاكَةُ وَرُوحُ, it sends down to whom? It descends to whom? I mean the malaka and ruh, to the imam of the time. He is a mediator that actually all the affairs of the world is not only the human beings, called the creature, as are given to him to be distributed among the creatures.
Speaking of repentance, you mentioned earlier, it's very great. I think it comes from acceptance. Maybe you accept that you have some faults, you have some problems, and then you turn your face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you ask for forgiveness. It's very great.
We know this is a sort of, let's say, difference that we have with other religions. We are not confessing in front of others, because Allah doesn't want us to confess, for example, our sins and mistakes in front of others, but between us and Him.
Yeah, it's just between us.
We are telling Him whatever I did, for example, in those cases, it was wrong. Even sometimes there are some sins that even we do not know that we have committed the sin, for the sins that we have not been yet paid any attention. We have not been aware of those sins that we have committed. So it requires to ask for repentance, again, paying attention to the status of the wilaya, because this is also the night of wilaya, because this is a sort of reception of these destinies and amal.
This was a very great point you mentioned. Sometimes we're not aware, we're not aware of the sins we did or we committed, let alone how to talk about it or how to accept it. And the mighty Allah knows that. Within us.
The second was that actually, as I said, thinking and pondering on about the wali of the time that we said that this is the night that all the actions and destinies are given to the wali of the time, so that they are going to be distributed among the people and among the creatures, not only the human beings. The third recitation of the Holy Quran. We have in hadith that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, anyone who recites Surah Al-Dukhan and Surah Al-Rum, I guarantee his entrance of the paradise. You see, Imam says such a thing. So recitation of the Quran is very important in this night. We need to have scientific discussions with those with the man of knowledge. Or at least if we are not able to create an atmosphere of gaining knowledge in presence of scholars, we can attend the programs, the scholarly programs, or the assemblies that are usually being held in different parts of the country here, or even everywhere, that usually scholars go to member and give advices. And actually, at those places, they are trying to discuss and pose a sort of scientific point and discuss around it, so that we gain something in that night. I mean, scientifically or from something, a piece of knowledge can be added. A knowledge can be added to our own knowledge. So this is very important to gain something. Again, among the actions that we can think of, supplicating and praying. Look, the famous dua that is that we are all have it in our memories, which is dua for the well-being and health of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, known as Allahumma kun li waliyak. We might know that the importance of this dua and the recommendation for this dua is only for the nights of Qadr. But since it is very important, we people try to recite it in different occasions, right? So reciting this dua in different states, in different positions, even in the hadith says, while you are prostrating in a status of sujood, while you are standing in a state of qiyam, try to recite this dua, Allahumma kun li waliyak. Pray for the well-being of Imam of the time.
It's very important.
It's very important. I mean, even some gave a certain number to this, but a recitation of too much of this prayer is very good, because here is the time. I mean, in this case, it is the time that you are thinking and you are trying to connect yourself to the ocean of ma'rifah, that is Imam alayhi salam, to the ocean of wilayah.
You know, and then by doing this, we're not just helping our imams, or not helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're just helping ourselves. This is the first.
Yeah, Imam is not in need of these du'as. We are doing this just to correct ourselves.
They're needy and they need our prayers, and it's not like this.
Very true.
We benefit from these. This the first receiver of these recitations, thinking and reading prayers is our soul body. Our personality, character. Yeah.
So through these supplications, the other supplications that are available in the books of du'a, like Mafatih al-Jannah, I mean, these du'as are really important when we talk to Allah and we, call Allah with 1,001 attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do you think that this Lord is not going to answer us and not going to answer our calls and our requests?
Mm.
Is very, very kind that even with one single name, he can answer our request. But when we recite the whole thing, I mean, the whole du'as and supplication, definitely we are sure that this Allah, with this characteristics, with this features, with this attributes, will never ever leave his servant alone, and definitely he will answer. And
course,
all the
definitely.
Supplications, all the du'as and prayers will be answered, inshallah, on that night.
Yeah, definitely. And also this trust, this whole trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important.
If we want to see if we are trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's ask ourselves, are we pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is, I think, a narration from one of the infallibles. Yeah. If we are pleased with Allah, it means that we agree and we accepted whatever Allah is doing.
Wow, this is wonderful. Thank
then
you.
We are testing ourselves. Am I trusting Allah? Then it seems first I need to ask myself, am I pleased with what Allah is doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Allah is not just in my own.
So it comes from this satisfaction. Are we satisfied? We should ask ourselves in this question. We should. Okay. So thank you. This the last word. Let's ask this question. Just 1 minute. These nights are nights of wilaya, and this is very important. And can you just, for 1 minute, I know this is a great subject.
Yes, night of wilaya or guardianship means that without the Khalifatullah Ta'ala, without the successor of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on the earth, nothing will happen, nothing will change, nothing will be accepted. That's why in this night we have to find Waliullah Ta'ala on the earth. Who is Waliullah Ta'ala? And do we follow him? Do we obey him? If someone obeys Waliullah Ta'ala, he obeys Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then due to this obedience to the Wali, to the Waliullah Ta'ala, then du'as will be accepted. The future affairs will be better in the future, let's say, time. And of course, the role of Waliullah Ta'ala, it is like a rope between the earth and the world and the heavens. That's why if someone finds this, he will be saved.
As a connection.
Yeah, as a connection. He will be saved. He will be, let's say, protected. Otherwise, it's really difficult to say such a thing.
So this is a very different concept. So it's like something that guides us and helps us and manages our lives, our everyday life, and very important.
We can do nothing without Waliullah Ta'ala.
Yeah, so it's like without it, you're lost in the storms.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thank you. Like our guest mentioned, Adr and Quran are in a way connected to each other. On these nights, humanity, especially Shia, lost a great man too. One who was a true exemplar of Quran in action. Let's make a promise to ourselves. Let's try to take one step toward reading and thinking about these divine concepts. And by doing so, let these heavenly words revive our body and soul. That's all the time we have. Don't forget to tune in next time. For now, may the mighty Allah bless you all. Stay safe. يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا فيك أتى القرآن من حضرة الرحمن فيك أتى القرآن من حضرة الرحمن للناس بالفرقان يا ليلة القدر يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا من الرحمن العفو والغفران اطلب من الرحمن العفو والغفران
Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, "Whenever I remember the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears."
In the limelight.
In the United States, prosecutors are demanding that Donald Trump should immediately stop targeting the daughter of the judge overseeing his New York hush money case on social media. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster ABC News has covered this story and tells us more. 2 days after former President Donald Trump targeted the daughter of the judge overseeing his New York hush money case on social media, lawyers for the Manhattan District Attorney have asked Judge Juan Merchant to clarify the case's limited gag order and direct that defendant immediately desist from attacks on family members, according to a letter sent to the judge. This court should make abundantly clear that the 26th of March order protects family members of the court, the district attorney, and all other individuals mentioned in the order, according to the letter which was sent to the judge on Thursday, 28th of March. Furthermore, the court should warn defendant that his recent conduct is contumacious and direct him to immediately desist, the letter said. On Tuesday, 26th of March, Judge Juan Merchant issued a limited gag order prohibiting Donald Trump from making comments about potential witnesses in the case, as well as jurors, lawyers, court staff, and their family members. The order permitted Donald Trump to continue making public comments about both Judge Juan Merchant and the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. The following day, Trump railed against the gag order on his social media platform and criticized Judge Juan Merchant's daughter for a social media post that a court official said was not posted by her. So let me get this straight. The judge's daughter is allowed to post pictures of her dream of putting me in jail. The Manhattan District Attorney is able to say whatever lies about me he wants. The judge can violate our laws and constitution at every turn. But I'm not allowed to talk about the attacks against me, Trump wrote. A court official later said the supposed post from the judge's daughter was a manipulation of an account she'd long ago abandoned. In a letter sent on Thursday, 28th of March, prosecutor Joshua Steinglass asked Judge Merchant to clarify the gag order in light of Donald Trump's referencing of Judge Merchant's daughter. The people believe that the 26th of March order is properly read to protect family members of the court, but to avoid any doubt, this court should now clarify or confirm that the order protects family members of the court, the district attorney, and all other individuals mentioned in the order. Prosecutor Joshua Steinglass argued that multiple potential witnesses have expressed grave concern about their safety and Trump's post could influence the participation of witnesses ahead of the 15th of April trial. That is, potential trial witnesses and prospective jurors who are not currently the subject of defendants' invective
will likely fear having themselves and their family members be subject to a similar attack, the letter said. The fear is not hypothetical. In the course of preparing for trial, multiple potential witnesses have already expressed grave concerns to the people about their own safety and that of their family members, should they appear as witnesses against the defendant. Donald Trump's defense attorney, Todd Blanche, responded to the request by arguing that Trump's posts were permitted based on terms of the limited gag order, which does not explicitly prohibit statements about Judge Juan Merchan's family. The express terms of the gag order do not apply in the manner claimed by the people, Todd Blanche wrote. Contrary to the people's suggestion, the court cannot direct President Trump to do something that the gag order does not require. Trump, last April, pleaded not guilty to a 34-count indictment charging him with falsifying business records in connection with a hush money payment his then-attorney, Michael Cohen, made to film actress Stormy Daniels just days before the 2016 presidential election. Jury selection for the trial is scheduled to get underway on 15th of April in New York City. Donald Trump has denied all wrongdoing. CNN cable news network has also covered the same story. A sitting federal judge on Thursday, 28th of March, harshly criticized Donald Trump's attacks on the judge overseeing the former president's criminal case tied to alleged hush money payments, telling CNN that such statements threatened the viability of America's legal system. U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton spoke with CNN's Caitlin Collins on The Source in the wake of Donald Trump's attacks on Judge Juan Merchan, which helped promote the New York judge to issue a gag order on the former president earlier this week. It is unusual for federal judges to speak publicly, especially about specific political or legal situations. It is very disconcerting to have someone making comments about a judge, and it's particularly problematic when those comments are in the form of a threat, especially if they're directed at one's family members, said Judge Reggie Walton, who has also faced threats, as has his daughter. We do these jobs because we're committed to the rule of law and we believe in the rule of law, and the rule of law can only function effectively when we have judges who are prepared to carry out their duties without the threat of potential physical harm. I think it's important in order to preserve our democracy that we maintain the rule of law, Judge Reggie Walton said. And the rule of law can only be maintained if we have independent judicial officers who are able to do their job and ensure that the laws are in fact enforced and that the laws are applied equally to everybody who appears in our courthouse. I think it's important that as judges we speak out and say things in reference to things that conceivably are going to impact on the process, because if we don't have a viable court system that's able to function efficiently, then we have tyranny. And I don't think that would be good for the future of our country and the future of democracy in America. In addition to the New York case and other legal matters, Donald Trump is criminally charged in a federal election interference case where he faces likely trial in the courtroom of Judge Tanya Chutkan, one of Judge Reggie Walton's colleagues in the D.C. District Court. A gag order on Donald Trump in his federal 2020 election case that limits his ability to speak about court staff in a way that could influence his case has been upheld by the appeals court. Yet, Donald Trump continues to rail about judges and others involved in his court cases elsewhere when gag orders don't limit him. The use of court-imposed gag orders against him have become more widespread in recent months. In New York, Trump has repeatedly attacked District Attorney Alvin Bragg's case and those involved with it ahead of what would be the first criminal trial of a former president. Trump has criticized Judge Juan Merchan, his daughter, and one of Alvin Bragg's prosecutors in the hours before Judge Merchan issued his gag order.
in the order, which does not prevent Trump from talking about Melvin Bragg, who is a public figure, or Judge Juan Merchan himself. Judge Merchan cited a sufficient risk to the administration of justice, and there exists no less restrictive means to prevent such risk. Judge Reggie Walton said that Judge Merchan did the right thing by not including himself in the gag order that he imposed on Trump. The gag order limits Donald Trump from making statements about potential witnesses, attorneys, court staff, or their family members. Judge Walton, who has been a senior judge of the federal trial level in Washington, D.C. since 2001, told CNN he's speaking out against threats on judges because he's concerned. Judge Reggie Walton said, even though threats may be made against you and your family members, you still have an obligation to ensure that everybody who comes into your courtroom is treated fairly, regardless of who they are or what they've done. But nonetheless, it's very troubling because I think it's an attack on the rule of law when judges are threatened, and particularly when their family members are threatened. And it's something that's wrong and should not happen. Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, whoever remembers us, the Ahlul Bayt, and his or her eyes fills with tears, his or her face will never burn in the fire of hell.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says Israel's attack on Iran's consular building in Damascus is a result of irreparable defeats it suffered in Gaza. Iran urges the UN Security Council to strongly condemn Israel's attack on its consular building in Syria, calling for an urgent meeting on the regime's violation. And Israel's indiscriminate strikes kill several foreign aid workers in Gaza as a death toll from the regime's genocide nears 32,850, mostly women and children.